following program is brought to you by your friends at Podcast One.
It's the Stone Cold and Jackal Show!
Really? That's what you came up with for our intro?
Welcome again! Episode 2! Here we are! Look, we're successful already.
We came back. Hollywood, California.
That's right. Here we
Stone
are.
Cold
doesn't
and
it sound
show.
So? Doesn't it sound so exotic? Live from Hollywood, California.
It does.
It's
I love
Wheel
saying
of Fortune.
It.
No, they're in Burbank.
Yeah,
but yeah, here we are. It's
awesome, man.
It is beautiful.
It's good to
here.
See you, buddy.
It's good to see you too, man.
Always good to see.
This
you.
This is the secret reason I wanted to do a podcast with you, so I could spend more time with you.
That's enough time.
I just
Thank
can't
you.
Be away
Don't touch
from
me.
You.
Thank you. Don't touch me.
Well, I wish I could. We're so
I know
away.
We're so far away, but yeah. Not really.
Episode 2. Here
How's
we
your
are.
Week? How's your
I'm
week,
good,
man?
Good, man. It's good. Things
Wife
are good.
And kids are good.
My kids are doing. My daughter is doing children's theater. Much like I did when I was a kid.
Oh, that
She's
is
doing children's
awesome.
Theater. It's awesome. So they put up The Lion King.
No way.
Yeah, so...
you got to show me some clips of this. Dude, you got to post it on StoneColdAndTheJackal.com.
Oh, that... I
you have to, dude. That is amazing.
I'm not sure if there's... Yeah, but it's funny because it's like first grade through eighth grade, kids doing...
Wow. Because
it's junior. It's yeah. junior. It's Lion King Junior. So it's only yeah. an hour and a half, which is... Or hour and 15, which is great. So, yeah, Juna, our six-year-old, she's a bird in the Circle of Life. She's got this big bird costume on with a little bird puppet.
Dude, this is amazing.
And then she's a bird again... And this, like, huge... It looks
Damn,
like a,
typecasting!
She looks like... her costume almost looks like an Angry Bird costume because it's huge. And at the end of the number, she's supposed to fall down. Like, it's like... It's like the end of the number, they all fall down, but she rolls.
She can't...
she can't... Like, her legs don't... Can't touch the ground in her arms. And so it's...
Can she get back up?
She has to roll. She has to, like, messed. Get some momentum and
That's
roll
messed up.
Up
dude.
Oh, and then she's a hyena and be prepared. She loves it. She's such a serious kid. It looks like she's not having any fun, but then she says she loves it. So anyway, that's what's
amazing.
Going on in my world. A lot of Lion King.
A lot of Lion King.
Yeah, so it's great. What about you? How's your week?
Good, man. Everybody's good. You know, Jack's playing football, which is awesome.
Oh, that's awesome.
You know,
it's not flag football anymore, right? It's like full on tackle.
No, he's not playing full on tackle.
Okay.
I don't think he's going to.
Oh, that's good.
I just don't.
I don't know. Yeah, I.
You know, I mean, listen.
That's
dude,
a tough question because I, you know, I don't
we
have boys.
Did it, right?
Yeah.
No way. Why does it always have to go there with you? We
you
did
think,
it, right?
You think I played football? I was the kicker. No, I wasn't. I mean, no, there wasn't football in New Hampshire. We played soccer. There's football in New
yeah,
Hampshire.
Yeah, but you're actually pretty athletic.
I used to be.
No, you are. I mean, you
it's
are.
Funny. One of my first directors ever. Back when I did summer theater, my whole thing was like he would introduce me as, oh, this is Bradford. He used to be an athlete. He thought it was the funniest joke in the world.
It is funny.
Yeah, it is. Yeah,
it
yeah.
is funny.
I used to be tennis and golf were. Yeah,
but you so, know the funny thing is yeah. is this is kind of weird. This is kind of
where's this going? Is this about me or is this about
no,
you?
No, but Jack's football.
Oh yeah, yeah
football
yeah.
team or whatever he's doing.
It's a team.
Yeah. So right. I coached for a while. We played flag. It was,
sure.
It was great. Five
yeah,
on five,
yeah.
7-on-7. It
was
amazing.
Awesome.
I for sure thought I was going to be on YouTube screaming at kids. Cause
oh, you're right.
That's what
Celebrity's
I did.
Celebrity's a jerk dad.
Yeah, totally.
Right.
What a
dick.
Oh, tater. Dictator. So they're doing this thing, man. You know, because with head injuries and all that stuff.
Yeah,
dude,
it's
kids
it's,
were getting, first of all, in flag football, kids were getting jacked.
Well, because they're running full speed at each other,
yeah.
right? Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And they're, you know, they don't have control of their
no,
bodies
they're
yet.
They're still
and
clumsy,
like,
yeah, yeah,
they're
yeah.
still, it's like, man, these kids were taking freaking hits. Right. I go, and this is safer?
Right, sure,
than
sure,
putting
sure.
a helmet on my kid? So, I don't know, my voice went up again.
Well, you're talking about your
safer.
Kid. Yeah, but you're impassioned about yeah. this. It's a big
but
issue.
It's I'm not that passionate about it, but, so... He says, Dad, I want to play football because he'll play soccer and stuff. And I'm going to play football again. I go, okay. So it's through school. It's a touch football league.
Two-hand touch?
Two-hand touch.
Okay.
Have you ever heard of this?
What, a
in
league?
Your entire life?
A league that's two-hand touch?
Yeah, it's
touch?
An organized
oh, wow.
thing.
Touching. Two-hand touching.
I go, what? He's like, yeah, it's two-hand touch. I go, that's weird.
Rather than flag. I mean, you think...
Rather than flag, right?
Because right,
it's
yeah.
harder to get the flag.
I guess. I don't know.
To,
I, I thought two-hand touch was just what you did in the
backyard. Well, you're frisking somebody.
Well, that's true, too.
You're like, you got to go touch them.
Right.
So I go, okay.
Well, and it's harder to officiate probably, too. How can you tell if two hands are touching versus grabbing a flag?
Right. So then they have to wear these helmets.
Like the old school leather helmets?
Like the old school leather helmets.
That's amazing.
Dude.
I love that.
It's amazing.
Are they playing football or are they synchronized swimming? I can't tell.
Not sure. Is that a bathing cap? Is my son playing?
What is that?
Are you playing touch football
with a bathing cap?
With a shower cap on? So he hated that. He hated to, you know, that's embarrassing.
Just vanity for
those
wearing the
helmets.
Cap? Oh, okay.
You know, it's like, I'm like, dude, put the helmet on. He's like, no, I'm not putting the helmet on. So. Brooklyn puts it on. That's my youngest daughter. She's 3 and a half, and she rocks that freaking thing.
Oh, that's amazing.
She loves it.
I
she
love
has
that.
Like no inhibition. She's like, this is helmet's the best. And I got pictures of it.
Does she play football? I mean, she just wearing it for a costume.
She's just wearing it for fun. But anyway, so I thought that was weird, you know, two hand touch football. I'm like, all right, cool.
Yeah.
So it is what it is. They're having fun, and you know, that's the main thing. And
nice, dude.
You know, kids are good. Everybody's good.
They play football in the spring?
All year, buddy.
All year. That's the thing now. See, I want my girls to try team sports because they're really into theater and dance.
They should.
Which is awesome.
They should.
But I want them to have that experience too. But the problem with team sports, especially in California, is if you show any affinity for a sport, they're like, all right, this is your career now.
Yeah,
like,
I know.
What? Like soccer's 3 days a week for 5 years.
And club soccer and soccer.
And then you're traveling.
And traveling teams and all that stuff. And it's not how we grew up.
No.
Right?
Well, I did a different sport every season.
And that's what was great.
Oh, it was awesome.
And it was amazing. So, yeah, definitely should have your daughters at least pick one.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
But then,
just do one.
But then it becomes all consuming. So I got to figure out.
I know it does.
Because, you know, if they have my genes, they're not going to get a scholarship for sports.
That's what everyone
expects. Like,
I know.
Yeah.
That's so going back to that, that's why he's not going to play tackle football, full contact, because he's not going to be an NFL player.
Right.
Steve, that's mean. Don't crush your son's dreams.
Well, if that was his dream, that'd
it's
be something else.
Dream.
It's not his dream.
No, he's like,
no.
I don't even know if I want to play football anymore.
There you go.
I said, don't take the hits to the head.
Yeah.
He's smart. He's like the smartest guy in the family.
Awesome.
He's math engineer guy, so go do something.
STEM,
cool.
That's great.
You know, so it's but it's good, man. But they play freaking football all year long there.
That's crazy.
So
family's
good.
Yeah.
Your family's good. Wives are good.
Yeah,
Everything's good, man.
We get some fun stuff coming up in the show. We're getting up on the ye olde nurses ball.
That's right.
We're starting to get into that.
Have you ever?
This is something that I needed to ask because the nurses ball has been going on for some years now.
Yes.
Have you ever performed?
Yes.
Come on.
Yes. When? You're going to pull it up on YouTube.
Oh,
somebody's going to post it. I know it.
Please do. Tag me. Show me this. Was this around Circus of the Stars time? Were you doing some freaking...
Oh, you bastard.
Oh, come on. Were you wearing your leotard doing some tumbling?
Hey, dude. Listen. My voice gets up like this.
I know. I love getting a rise out of you.
Circus of the Stars, man. That was the trapeze. Let's be real here.
That's right. I've seen the video. I think I have seen the video. Like you raise your hand, like you know, the flying Jasons. You know, you raise your hand to present
mullet.
Yourself.
It was a flying mullet. But here's a quick story about that. The Circus of Stars. I did that. It was, you know, it was 1988 or 87 or something.
So it was before GH.
It was Out of This World.
It was Out of This World,
right?
Yeah.
And it was 3-6 weeks, 2 months
of training.
That's it.
Or the whole shoot and everything.
Everything, yeah.
Wow.
So they're like, we'll pay you $10,000. That's what it was.
That's pretty good.
And I'm like, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm doing it.
Absolutely.
I didn't know I was going to have to wear those freaking purple leotards, but.
It was great. It was really
It wasn't great,
no,
dude.
No, there's something about the blonde hair.
How, why
and the
am I
purple
leotards
leotard?
Again? Just well, like Romeo and Juliet. I'm in a freaking dance belt swinging on a pole.
There you go. Some people. Hey, Steve moved to California. What are you doing? He's swinging on a pole in California.
In a dance belt.
Yeah, yeah. Some people had a different idea of what you were doing.
So
Steve's in Van Nuys swinging on a pole.
It was tough, man. The training was tough.
Sure.
Trapeze is tough. Don't let it fool you.
I have no idea in my head that thought that trapeze was easy.
Yeah, I know, but I'm in purple leotards and a gold helmet.
That's the perk.
That is the perk. And I had some nice. I got that thing bedazzled.
Yeah,
it was
you did.
Awesome.
It's funny. Since I've known you, most of your clothes, especially through the 2000s, were bedazzled. Your Affliction jeans.
Damn you!
You had You were a rhinestone friggin' cowboy. It was amazing.
My wife hated those things.
You loved
She's
it.
She's like, get those out of here now.
It was amazing.
No more.
When I met you, you drove a Honda Civic and you had all these bedazzled clothes.
If I could beat you up right now, it was my favorite thing
in the world. When I started on GH, my mom had helped me buy my first car to come out to LA. Oh, I drove it across country.
Nice.
It was a Honda Civic. It was right when they did the redesign. It was really cool looking.
Yeah, it was.
So okay. I get to GH and everybody's got Range Rovers and Mercedes and BMWs, and then there was this like little Civic hybrid, and I was like, I wonder whose car that is. Turns out it was Steve Burton's car because he liked to drive in the HOV lane, and the fuel efficient sticker got him in the carpool
lane. That's the only
lane.
Reason.
But I remember I was so proud. I was like, hey, we have the same car. Yeah, we both drive Honda Civics. And Steve's face just fell. And I was like, oh, man. I did. I thought he was embarrassed. He was clearly embarrassed to be driving a Honda Civic.
No,
and I was so proud of mine.
I tricked that
thing
out,
dude. And I was
like,
we're samesies. We're twinsies.
No, we're not twinsies.
Twinsies. Samesies.
No, we're samesies? Is that a new word?
Yeah.
Did you just make that up?
We're samesies.
So, long story short with the Circus of the Stars.
Oh,
so
right, sure.
6 weeks. It was cool, too, because we trained at Universal.
Oh, wow.
They set it up at Universal so people could actually see us train and stuff. And
that must have been embarrassing.
Kind of.
Like public training sessions?
Well, they blocked it off for the first, 4 weeks, and then
Until you weren't laughable anymore?
Yeah, exactly, because it was tough, dude. So
public would just come in and be like, oh, it's that guy from—
No, they would. They had it fed. We were like caged animals.
Yeah.
We were like the monkey in the zoo, right? Yeah. So we trained, and I got all my tricks down, 2 weeks before the TV appearance.
Sure.
We shot that on the back lot at Universal, one of the sound stages. I got all my tricks down perfect.
Right.
Because, first you do it in cables, and they take the cables off.
Man, that's scary.
It is scary. The first time, dude, I mean, there were some bad accidents. People fly off that bar and hit the catcher.
Ah, man.
And it was nasty, dude.
Was it fun to fall in the net?
Yeah, that was cool.
Yeah.
I sat on mine heights, so for me it wasn't a big deal.
Sure.
But the net is not soft.
Isn't. It isn't.
It's freaking rope burns, dude.
Oh, right.
Poor chick took a header, dude.
Shoot.
She had rope burns on her face.
Well, and you're not wearing many clothes either.
It's nothing.
Not like you're wearing just a leotard.
Yeah,
a
nothing.
Fancy leotard.
So I had my tricks down, 2 weeks out. I'm like, oh, this is awesome, dude. I'm freaking the man.
Right.
Mental block.
While you're shooting?
No. 2 weeks before. I had them down perfect.
Right.
Couldn't do any of them 2 days later.
Okay, confused. So that's dangerous, right?
When you're
letting go of a trapeze bar
100%.
And you forget what you're supposed to grab?
100%.
That's freaky.
Yeah, it was weird. It was a weird mental thing that I went through. So he basically gave me a crash course. He started me over. I had to go back into the ropes, onto the trampoline, do my flips, do my full twist until I got off the ropes, do my full twist on the trampoline, get back up on the trapeze.
Trainer was like, what did I sign up for? These freaking dumb actors.
Totally. He was a great guy, but I know he was over us because we got into fights all the time, dude.
Was he like a true carny? Was he a circus guy?
He was an Italian guy and just a—
Did he have a mustache?
Hard, no.
Was he a hard knock guy.
Great guy.
Right.
But he was a freaking circus trainer.
Yeah.
Was
his name Giuseppe?
Armando.
No, come on.
Yeah, really? It was Armando. Awesome. Yeah, he was awesome. His family was great, so he said, okay, don't worry. We're going to get back. We're going to do it. Get back up on the bar again, and we do the ropes. They take the ropes off, and I could land all my tricks except for the full twist, the big one.
Ooh, the full twist.
So you go up, you full twist, you put your arms out, and the guy catches you, right? That guy was awesome. And
was he an actor too?
Hell no.
Okay.
What, are you crazy?
Well, I wasn't sure.
Oh, look, it's Spinelli. He's a catcher. he said, okay, don't worry. You're not going to do those tricks. You're going to do your tricks and not the full twist. But that's the big one.
Sure.
That's the finale.
That's the crowd pleaser.
Oh, that's
what sends him on happy.
So I couldn't land the full twist. So I'm like, I'm not inviting anybody because I'm afraid.
What's going to be on TV, Steve? You know that, right?
Yes, it was taped live, but I didn't want to.
I'm not going to have anybody watch me. Don't worry.
Except for the 10 million people.
If I don't have anybody watching, nobody will see it.
Yeah, so I do. So I just, my dad came and I'm like, okay, I'm going to try it. So we get through the show, right?
Yeah.
Do the other tricks. And I tell Armando, I said, please just let me try it.
You know?
And he's like, okay, fine. I mean, dude, it's talk about pressure.
Right. Oh, sure.
Right?
Yeah.
The pressure cooker. So I do it, and Danny was the catcher. He's like, you'll be fine. You'll be fine.
Right, sure.
You'll be fine. And I'm like, okay. He was a great guy. He held a world record for handstand push-ups at the time.
Come on.
So the dude was so strong.
Jacked, yeah.
Just jacked. Just natural. Just so.
I tried that record a couple years ago. I didn't get it.
Did you get one?
I didn't get it.
Can you do a handstand?
Yeah.
Okay. So it's the last trick, and I'm like, okay, please, God, please. please. Just let me. Yeah. Let me land this thing. I don't know how I'm going to do it, but let me do it, man.
Yeah.
Please. So I go. So you jump off the platform and right. you kick out and you come back and certain time he makes a noise like a no, that's a horse, bro. Oh. I'm not a horse. You're so stupid. Yeah. Hey, Steve.
Well, I don't know. What kind of noise do you make? Hey, Steve, let go.
He would yell like listo, like was ready or
ready,
something.
Ready in
like,
Italian.
Listo
yeah.
or something. Yeah. Right. I'm like, what the hell? Right. Cappuccino.
Yeah.
I want some coffee. So I let go.
Right.
I don't know what happened, dude. In the if you see it and you're going to be able to watch it.
I will.
It is not a full twist. It's a seizure. Literally, it's a seizure midair.
But you did it.
But the guy caught me.
Wow.
I was able to shake and bake. Yeah. It was like I was doing
and
some
then
weird stuff.
They carried you off the field like Rudy. It sounds like an inspiring story.
Dude, it was amazing.
They should make a movie out of that, the Steve Burton trapeze story.
No viewers.
No viewers.
No okay. audience. So anyway, so I don't know how we got out of
the circus. Did you do that in the nurse's ball? You did some gymnastics?
No. So with the nurse's ball, it was a skit that Sean Kanan and I did. It was like a comedy skit.
Really?
Yeah, it was AJ and Jason. We did something.
And the writer, it was their idea. It wasn't like you and Sean.
No, it was their idea, and they wrote it, and we did it, and, you know, it was horrible.
Well, because doesn't Sean do stand-up now anyway?
I think so.
Yeah, yeah.
It was horrible.
Well.
I'm going to find it now. We're going to watch it.
Right. Well, because, I mean, you know, if I on the nurse's ball have had to take my shirt off, at least you should have had to sing or something.
Did you have to take your shirt off?
Yes, I did Magic Milo, like, twice.
You did?
Yeah, you never see now, like,
one. You did Magic Milo?
Yeah, okay, shut up. So
the Magic Jackal? Did you show the Jackal?
Shut up.
Did you show Jackal Jr.?
But here's the
thing.
Were
you in a dance belt?
Yes.
You were?
Well, because we were.
Oh,
I think all,
gosh. We can't be friends anymore.
That's all we had on, I think. Oh, no, we had special. We had special, like.
Did you tan?
Did you put body makeup on? You did a little spray. I didn't want to throw off the lighting. So,
the
one sex scene that I ever did, they had to
light one candle.
Yeah. The more shadows,
they were like, the
more
why
shadows,
is there
the
an
better.
Alien abduction.
Yeah. Full moon. What? Why is it so
no,
bright?
Bradford shirts off.
Oh, yeah. But it always, like, in the nurse's ball, when they brought the nurse's ball back, you always avoided it.
Well, the big nurse's ball was when I carried Robin off of stage.
Oh.
That was the big moment. Have you seen that? Do you know what I'm talking about?
Had she just landed a trapeze turn or something?
No, dude. Don't mess around, bro. I can't believe you did Magic Milo.
Yeah, no, it was.
We're going to post that on our blog.
There you go. Well, no, people have seen it enough, I'm sure. No, but it was the first year that we brought it back when Frank took over. It was Kelly had, you know, Dancing with the Stars had come up not too long ago. And so they brought. Maxim and Max came in and did it with us, and he and I were the best dancers. So like
that does not surprise me.
Well, I had
That's
some training.
You're a good dancer.
So we had some choreography, and he like did lifts with me and stuff like.
With you?
Yes.
Oh, my gosh. Your career is over.
Right, it's been over for a long time. So I did Magic Milo. And then I think the second year I did it, too, when Maxim wasn't there. And we did it again. And they asked me to do it again. I'm not sure why they asked me to do it. It was like,
hey,
you know.
They're asking.
They knew you'd say no. That's why. Yeah. But, those big events at work are always fun because everyone's there and stuff.
Yeah, yeah, we're gonna have fun, man. It's gonna
be
great.
Yeah, so next we're getting into that.
Yeah, yeah, it's gonna be a lot.
I mean,
I'm not quite sure
what I'm doing yet. I think I'm with you. So
are you?
I don't know. I'm not sure what I'm doing.
So
maybe
you're not. You don't know if you're performing.
I don't know if I'm performing. Huh. But you know,
well,
oh, maybe we'll do a little soft shoe, you and me. You know
what?
We should do a little soft shoe. Didn't like you know a little dance like a little maybe a magic show. Magic show, maybe.
Magic Milo.
Make something disappear.
Make something disappear? No, my friend. Stay away from me.
If we were to do, maybe we could do like a fake ventriloquist act or something.
That would be funny.
What could we do?
Wouldn't that be funny?
I could
sit on your lap.
And then no one would see me.
You're like, why is the jackal shoes hanging out of Jason's ass?
Oh, So, but I hope we're there. I hope we're there because I love to see you sweat when
I'm sweating right now.
I know you're always sweating.
Yeah, I know. But you know, last week we kind of got into, you know, kind of how I got started.
That's right.
Stuff.
It's a little fascinating, bit. Fascinating story.
We touched on it.
Not everybody's first job is a Coke commercial.
Well, that wasn't my first job, dude.
Okay. Not
my first real job. Yeah. But, you know, you and I have talked about it a little bit about how you got started, but I never really, because I know you did a lot of theater. And
right.
And you know, I did a little bit, but I have no interest until like a year and a half ago.
Sure.
Of thinking about, you know what, man? It would be really cool to be able to do some theater.
Totally.
And get to work. You know,
on something.
A script for a
for
long
time. Longer than a day.
Longer than 10 minutes and be able to discover and create. And I know that's a big part of your background and a big part of why you're so good at what you do.
Well, thank you, honey.
How did it start?
Sure. Well, where I'm from is a small town in New Hampshire. And so very far away from where things happen, right? Lakes and mountains, awesome. Awesome. But the thing, so even when I was a kid, like I did children's theater, which was not like in line to then do professional theater, right? It was just like my mom worked with the local community theater and they had a children's program. So like my first thing ever was playing, me and my sister did Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs and I was dopey. Surprise, surprise.
Damn type.
Dude, I had this little hat on, one of those hats. I had like these fake cheeks on and one of those hats with the clapping hands where you pull the string and the hands clap.
That's amazing.
And I did this like crazy walk and I was like five and it was Children's Theater Workshop. And then I played Jiminy Cricket and my sister played Pinocchio. Like
That's
just
cool.
stuff like that, right? Yeah. So, you know, my parents did a great job of just involving us in a lot of different things, right? So then I started working with that community theater. I played Tiny Tim. Was my, like, when I was a kid, you know, like, so there's a picture of me in my town's newspaper as Tiny Tim, you know.
That's awesome.
So, but I didn't, you know, in central New Hampshire, no one goes on to become an actor somewhere. It's not like a track that's laid out for you, right?
Sure, but it's a desire. You had a desire to do it?
No.
Or not really?
It was just I don't know, when you think back to being a kid, my ambitions, I wanted to be a baseball player. Then my dad was like a financial planner, so I wanted to be a stockbroker.
Sure.
Like I did all these things. Like I played baseball, I played basketball, I did theater, I did all these things. Like I was still planning on being a real person when I grew up, like, having a real freaking job.
Yeah.
Right? So I didn't think of any and all that changed when this professional theater moved into my high school. Because I grew up in this town that's Lakes Mountains, very
big. Is it a small town?
Vacation, 2,500 people.
Wow, that's super small.
Yeah. And a lot of those people aren't year-round residents either. My high school, my graduating class was like 80, 65, 70 kids somewhere in there.
And one farm donkey.
And one farm donkey. Valedictorian. It was crazy. It was the smartest donkey you would ever meet.
Dopey.
Yeah. No, actually, our Anna was our valedictorian. Anna Foley. If you're listening, hi, Anna.
Did you like Anna?
Anna was great. It was great. She was the smartest.
Did you get Anna?
Jeez, it's terrible.
You're a terrible person.
Yeah, terrible.
You're a horrible person.
Yeah, I guess so. and so this, when I was a sophomore, they were looking for, so this summer theater came in. Summer theaters are big in New Hampshire.
Sure.
Like, you know, summer stock, as they call it. And so this summer stock company set up shop in my high school because my high school had just built this brand new state-of-the-art theater.
That's weird.
High property taxes in New Hampshire, I guess.
Is that weird?
Yeah, I know. It's great. It was great.
I mean, it's great, but isn't that kind of weird?
Yeah, I guess
they would spend that much money on a theater?
Well, it wasn't huge. It wasn't – I mean, it seemed state-of-the-art at the time, right? It was just – anyway. So they came in the summer and had summer – you know, and they were all college students because it was non-union. So they weren't getting maybe $100 a week. All since it's non-union, there's no stipulations on living environment, so they all live in the same house.
Right.
Right? So they were looking for the youngest brother in Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat, which is the youngest brother is Benjamin, and they were looking for locals to audition for it. So my mom, who was doing bookkeeping for them, said, you should audition. So I sang Unchained Melody.
Nice.
For my audition.
One of my favorite songs.
Oh, my love.
Don't make me sing it.
My darling. That's how I did it.
Did you do it like that?
Yeah, I did. I really dramatic.
Were you breathy?
Super, super breathy. And I kind of like rubbed myself a little bit. It was great.
Back to touching.
I got the part.
Two-hand touch.
I got the part. And I was 15 years old. So all of a sudden now I was working with these 18 to 22-year-olds. theater majors.
Yeah.
So much more outgoing people than I – they weren't like the 18 to 22-year-olds I knew from my town,
sure,
right? They
sure.
were from all over the country, really
experienced,
just outgoing, vivacious, the coolest people I had ever met, right?
Right.
And they were all living together. 18 to 22-year-olds,
yes.
35 actors in a house. I was 15 years old. They did. They rehearsed all day. They performed all night. They went home, and they did all the other stuff all night.
Yeah,
and I was like, gosh damn, I want to be an actor.
That's how.
15-year-old, 15, I mean, like literally. But since they were all going to college for being an actor, I didn't know what I was going to go to college for.
Right.
All of a sudden, these were the coolest people I'd ever met. They were going to college for this. And people told me I had some aptitude towards it, right? So I was like, oh, maybe I'll look into that. And then I started, you know, doing the high school plays and started, you know, getting more feature roles in the high school plays, and then worked with the summer company again the next year.
That's awesome.
And so then it just became kind of, okay, well, I guess I'm going to go to college for theater. And you know, some of the directors, one of the directors who kind of became my mentor was the chair of a theater program at a college. And so, like, I just – going to college for theater just kind of became the path for me. And it wasn't like – I was passionate about it, but at the same time, I just – it was the thing that I did, and I didn't have anything else. So I was just like, oh, okay, I'll do that.
Hold on. When did you figure out you could sing?
Well,
like that audition?
Yeah, well, I guess so because –
because I can't sing.
No, I'm aware.
And you're a dick.
You're a great rapper.
Listen, no one wants to see a 40-year-old soap guy rap.
You'd be surprised.
Yeah, we were surprised.
We have proof of it.
We do. It's on YouTube.
It's on YouTube.
So, honestly, like, because you sing so you have a
angelically?
Great,
you, thank you.
And this podcast
right?
is just the Jackal. Honestly, when did you know that you can kind of carry a tune and sing?
Well, the thing is, most theater around the, you know, people aren't doing crazy dramatic plays. They're doing musicals.
Yeah.
Right?
Sure.
You know, a lot of high schools, they do one show a year. Chances are it's a musical.
Yeah.
And the summer theater that I worked with, I think they did one play at the beginning of the season, but then the rest were musicals because that's what gets money. That's what people pay to see.
Absolutely.
You know, people don't want to be challenged necessarily with this, like, hard-hitting play. They want to have fun.
Sure.
And, you know, so that's why, you know, the biggest selling shows.
Because I just saw School of Rock's playing right at the Pantages.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, I want to go see that.
Because it's fun. You know, you're going to have a good time, right? You're not
going to
come out feeling like you want to go jump off a roof.
I mean, honestly, musicals, I was just never... I was like, I don't know if I'm going to see a musical. I just was never a musical guy.
Sure.
And I saw Hamilton.
Oh, man.
Did you see it?
Yeah.
Amazing.
Amazing, right?
Amazing.
I
got it. I was like, wow, I get this. This is cool.
There's something about when you can tell a story truthfully through a song, it hits. It brings out parts of the audience feels it in more than just their brain. Like
absolutely.
It comes to life in a different way.
Yeah, kind of when I do Ice Ice Baby.
Kind of like when you do that. I feel it in the depths of my soul.
Yeah, I see, you know, people are crying in the front row.
And when I said, all right, stop, collaborate, and listen, that's what we do. We
Jason's
collaborate,
back with
we
a brand
listen.
New intention.
We collaborate, we listen.
We collaborate and we listen.
With
you don't
new,
listen, apparently, to your wife, though.
Brand new invention. Did he rhyme collaborate and listen with invention?
Wait, stop, collaborate and listen.
Ice is back with a brand new invention?
I don't even know, dude. What have I been saying?
I don't know. Invention? In the South, you say invention anyway.
Yeah, I just mumble it anyway.
Yeah.
So, collaborate and listen.
Something. Grab a hold of me, toilet. Holy Harper, daily, nightly, will of stop. Yo, I don't know. Yeah. So that was a highlight of our poor short tour. Yeah, stop clever and listen. I started doing musicals, and then so I went to college at NYU with a focus in musical theater because that's what I thought I wanted to do. I envisioned myself being on Broadway, living in Southern Connecticut with, you know, I had it all mapped out. I was like, okay, if I'm successful at this, I can have a family.
I'm sorry, buddy.
Right?
You had it all mapped out, and now you're the Jackal.
Yeah. So I went to NYU, and I got what I thought was, you know, was great training, did 3 years of musical theater training, and then my last year, I did the experimental theater wing, which is all, like, physical-based acting, like... You make sounds, but they're not for anybody's pleasure. You're just like, you're not trying to sound like you're not singing to sound professional. You're making your own sounds, whatever comes out.
Is that like interpretive sounding?
Kind of. It's just like messing around and feeling. So like it was the perfect kind of contrast to, okay, if you want to be on Broadway, you got to look this way, sound this way, and do this. And then my senior year, I did just what felt right.
Right.
Rather than trying to be a product. Do you know what I mean?
Got it.
So that was a really great, that was a really cool way to juxtapose my training. Like, and so then I did, but yeah, when I graduated, I did musicals.
Wow. So and, every guy who is listening has turned this off now.
You're right.
No, I'm kidding, dude.
You're right.
No, but you did a lot of musicals, but I want to get to your, how'd you get on General Hospital?
So after doing a couple years of musicals, it's funny.
Did you play any instruments?
I played drums and saxophone in high school.
Did you?
Yeah.
No, like flute or?
Clarinet.
Recorder.
Recorder. Everybody played the recorder.
I know. I love the recorder.
Oh, recorder's awesome. It's funny. You know, they always say yes to every job, right? Because you never know where it's going to lead you, right?
Sure.
So I'd say, well I said yes to doing a children's musical of Huck Finn. Which is a job that I wasn't, you know, it was a good job, but yeah. It wasn't like, but the director that ended up doing it was this great director. He was the theater director, the artistic director at Baltimore Center Stage. He's since passed, which is devastating. He used to teach at Yale. He's awesome. But I ended up working with him. We had a great relationship. He then got hired to do this play in Philadelphia, an Edward Albee play called The Goat. And I ended up doing it with him. And it was the first play I had done. And a lot of people assume...
Tom Brady in that?
The GOAT!
The GOAT!
I love you for that.
He is the GOAT.
Oh, he is the GOAT. Absolutely.
I know we're going to talk football at some point, but...
We got to.
The guy's, you know... Yeah. The guy's amazing.
Amazing.
You can hate... Listen, I know there's people who... I was never really a fan of the Patriots.
I know.
Honest. And you are.
I am huge.
Huge fan.
And it's geographical. It's not my fault.
But once you understand what this guy does...
Yeah, you said you watched his Facebook show.
I watched it. Yeah, he had a Facebook, like, 15-minute episodes of a documentary of his life.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
The commitment this guy has is unbelievable. There's people who say, I hate Tom Brady, and then they watch this thing, they're like...
Converts.
Oh, he's not that bad.
Yeah.
You know, but anyway.
Well, it's something when you have a goal like that, yeah. So I did this play. It went really well for me. And a lot of people, when you do musicals, people think you can't act. They think you're just a singer and a dancer.
Yes.
Yeah. So I did this play, and we're like, and people got some notice for it, and people were like, "Oh, he can act," and that's when my manager, my agent, said it's time to try out L.A.
Wow,
and
cool.
So I moved out, lived in San Dimas, like Bill and Ted.
Did you?
Yeah,
San Dimas.
Yeah, my dad's cousin, who's like an aunt to me. She's got the Via Verde exit off the 10.
Yeah, buddy.
And 2 weeks into here, living in L.A., I booked Veronica Mars.
No way.
And I was like, you know what? I guess I'll stay. I thought I'd just try it out. I was like, I don't know if it's going to work for me. But 2 weeks in, I booked Veronica Mars.
That's huge.
And, well, I mean, it was just a guest star, but it turned into another guest.
Sure.
It turned into recurring.
Work always leads to work.
And I was like, I guess I can work. Because I always thought, when you're doing theater in New York, you're traveling all the time. You're not making a lot of money.
Right.
You're living a real gypsy life,
sure.
Right? You work for 3 months, and then you don't work for 3 months. And then you got to go back to waiting tables. You got to do what, you know. I figured if I could work as much as I did in New York, in L.A., maybe I have a better lifestyle, right?
Yeah.
Anyway, and Veronica Mars, and then a year into being in L.A., walked into Mark Teshner's office.
No way.
And I remember, like, the script.
Yeah, so to tell people, because, you know, they don't really know how an audition works, so to speak, right?
Yeah.
So did you, at this point, you got an email? Or did they fax you the sides?
Man, that's so funny. I guess it must have been an email. I must have had a computer. Yeah, it was 2005. It was or 2006.
Well, but still, people were faxing then, weren't they? Or no?
I guess
it was faxing,
I guess so.
Dead.
No, I think it was on its way out. Maybe you were faxing.
Yes, for sure.
You
I'm
were
still faxing.
Faxing. Yeah, you are.
I'm faxing myself right now.
I can tell. What's the Jason.
Jason. Yes, ma'am.
And
okay.
So I got this script, and it was about his cat. His cat was gonna die in a fire. There was like an explosion in his house, and his cat died. And I was trying to. I remember I was like, "What is this? This is not gonna work." Because I didn't know much about soaps, but I was like, "This is not gonna work."
Well, plus it was written a certain way too.
Very, very broad.
Right. So it's like, because when I saw, because I didn't see your audition or your audition scene.
My audition material never made it to air. I'm not
right.
Not sure.
So the only time, you know, before meeting you, I saw the script and I'm like, who the freak is going to do this?
Dead Man Walking.
Dead Man. I go, this guy is dead. We were like, count the days of this guy's dead man.
Right.
This is never
gonna
work.
Right.
Ever.
Ever. Yeah.
And then you show up.
Yeah, my first.
And then you made it, dude. You just made it work.
Well,
it's
what
amazing.
What was easy? The thing that I focused on was just what he cared about, and like rather than making a big issue out of the way he spoke or the eccentricities, just make him a guy that really cared about certain things and wanted certain things. And I
don't know how. I mean, God bless Mark Teschner, because I really don't know who they could have gotten to.
I remember,
do what you do.
He told me after the fact, I had this crazy hair. I was like the mop head. I'd gotten into the habit of cutting my own hair in those days.
What?
I it was awesome, dude. I would grab it in four places. I would grab it on the top.
He's so stupid.
I would grab it in
it's
four places.
It's not that big.
Oh, come on. I would grab it on the top and do like a scissor cut on top.
You're serious?
On the sides, scissor cut on the sides.
Is like, this a joke?
And then in the back. And then I would just kind of shake my head and it would just fall kind of even.
That's how you cut your hair?
I swear to God, I had the Bieber look before anybody did.
Well, no, the Monkees and the Beatles had it too.
Well, okay, in this century.
Remember them?
In this century.
Have you heard of the Beatles?
Yeah.
Dude, I can't believe you cut your own hair.
It was awesome.
That's amazing. Well, I've never heard that story.
Because as I said, no one ever hired me to look a certain way.
That's amazing.
And I remember Jill Phelps, it was Mark. Mark, I think must have been after the fact, because I walked in, it was Bob Guz at the time, it was Jill Phelps. I walk into Jill's office, that's where my final audition was, all the other auditions were in Mark's office, and then for the callback, you're in the executive producer's office with the big view of Hollywood. It was kind of intimidating, and they as soon as I walked in the room, they just started laughing.
What?
I didn't do anything.
You got a face made for radio.
Exactly right. They're like, we can't hire this kid.
That's amazing.
And that's what Mark told me after the fact. He's like, you know what? They were looking for someone that could just walk into the room and they would laugh.
Wow.
And
so I guess that's a compliment.
I guess. Yeah. So
no,
and my
good.
First scenes were with Rick Hurst and Ted King, Alcazar.
Oh, yeah.
Alcazar and Rick Lansing.
That's
And then my second day was like 30 pages with you and Kelly.
Wow.
It's when you threw me in the closet.
That's the magic time.
Dude.
What do we do in the closet?
I was bound and gagged in the closet.
Oh.
Yeah. It was hot.
Calm down. Calm down, Jackal.
Well, I just remember. I remember because, like, you guys kidnapped me outside of Kelly's, and Kelly, like, had her hands in her pockets and kind of, like, dipped in, like, all, like, flirty.
You fell for that in 1 second.
Dude, come on.
You fell for that in 1 second.
It was good. It was a good move. It was a good move. So,
yeah. That's why we're doing this.
That's right.
Because of our relationship on the show.
That was been building. It's a slow build.
It's a slow burn,
yeah, as they call it.
It's a slow burn.
Now we're smoldering.
Yes.
Smoldering. Yeah.
Like that look?
Oh, dude, that's so good. You guys should see this look.
Oh, yeah.
He just passed gas, but the look was great.
Stupid.
Dude, not in this room. It's so tiny.
I know. It's a small room in here. Gas chamber.
Tweet of the week.
That's the music now?
There may be a new jingle every week. We'll see.
Okay.
Tweet of the week.
Tweet of the week.
Tweet of the week.
We always do that.
Chirp, chirp. Tweet of the week.
We always
this
do the tweet
one,
of the week.
This one is less nice.
Oh, because we did a nice one.
We did a nice
last,
one last week.
Last episode, episode one.
Yeah, episode one, we thought we'd start it out with some positivity.
I'm glad we got
as
past
a, as
episode
a boost,
one.
We weren't sure how we were going to feel. We weren't sure how confident we'd feel about this.
Sure.
So we thought we'd give ourselves a tweet that kind of built us up a little bit.
Yeah, I like that.
Right?
And now we're going to smack us down.
Now we're going to smack us down, because now I feel a little too confident.
Okay.
Right.
Well, there's plenty of people out there that will smack us down.
They will smack us down. So we're not going to say the name of this handle, because we don't want to sick the dogs on them. I didn't even write it down, because
okay.
I don't want to.
You're a very nice man.
Well, because, you know, if you express your opinion on Twitter and people don't like it, then you become the center of the rock throwing contest. And we don't want anybody to get hit
with
rocks.
I've been a target many times.
Yeah. Well, okay. So I think.
Am I a target again? Is that what you're saying?
Well, we both are, which is.
Okay, fantastic.
Fun. You get a great nickname in here.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I'm pretty excited about it. I think it might stick. I think this was in response. I think it was in response to actually one of our boss's tweets. Like
Sam
Frank's? And Jason, Sam and Jason are going to save Spinelli or something like that.
Oh yeah.
So the tweet of the week is: this is old. Stop living in the past and move this along. Concrete, I think that's you.
I'm concrete.
You're concrete.
Okay.
Yeah, I think that's your name. Concrete. can save the man-child, I think that's me, on his own. So Concrete and Man-Child, we should change the name of the podcast to Concrete and Man-Child.
Yes, Man-Child.
I love that, though.
But I have to say it like this.
Man-Child?
Man-Child.
Man-Child.
And then you could call me, how do you going to call me Concrete?
Concrete.
No.
No, there has to be
that's
some
like
sort
a jingle.
Of, like, bom, bom.
That was
Concrete. Like, because he's like.
Hot pockets.
Hot pockets.
Hot pockets.
Oh, I love hot pockets.
No, you don't. You
oh,
don't
I did.
Eat those things,
I did.
Did
I did.
You, have you
Dude,
ever eaten a
ham
hot
and cheese hot pocket in
that
high
is
school?
So disgusting.
A ham and cheese hot pocket was so good.
Bradford. Did you burn your mouth?
Well, yeah, because you can't wait. Once it's done, it's you know you anticipate the deliciousness. You can't wait.
That is disgusting.
And then it's like it should be like a Pavlovian thing where you understand that if you eat it too early, it's gonna hurt. So you should learn to stop.
But you can't.
But you can't because it's so delicious. The pepperoni pizza ones,
okay,
super good.
Not good at all.
What were the little there are the little ones that look like dog treats?
I know which
the little ones.
Yeah, I don't know.
They're like mini hot pockets.
Yeah,
those were friggin' good.
Those are not good.
Yeah. So thank you, person, for giving us new nicknames. Concrete and Man-Child.
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 He's a man-child.
Yeah, the man-eater. Who sang man-eater back in the day?
Hall & Oates.
Hall & Oates. Yeah, yes. that's their 2018
smash out.
He's a man-child. Yeah, I love that. I love that. All right, we got a couple questions here. Thank you for sending
in. Yeah, let's do that. Let's do
thank
some
you for
questions.
Sending in your questions. This is from Maria Darby Leonard asks, how do you treat your wives, after a long
my wives,
my wives, all your
where's
wives,
my wife's at?
Your wives, all the whiffs, the wives. How do you treat your wives after a long hard day at work? Do you want to come home and tell them how your day went, or are you or do you just want time to yourself?
What the hell?
So
what
I,
the hell?
I mean, I get that instinct, but. I commute to work. I commute a long way. I commute from Sacramento to L.A.
Yes, I
so
do.
So when I go to work, I'm sorry, you commute too, a little bit further.
Yeah.
But when I come home from work, that means I've been gone for like a couple days or more. And my wife knows that when I work, I'm hanging out with cool people like Steve.
Yeah, right.
Maybe playing some video games.
Yeah, we're having fun. We have fun.
But like,
and they're not.
And when I go home, when my place in LA, I'm either playing video games or just hanging out or going to bed. But when I go away, she does everything.
Everything.
Like
it all.
And my wife has like four jobs, and she's a full-time master's student.
Yeah, she's a beast.
And she's a beast. When I go to work, she's a single parent.
She's
so,
a beast, yeah.
So no, she I can't. When I get home, I got to jump in the double dutch right away.
Yeah, you're
right. I'm like,
you better get on the freaking.
I'm not always great at it, but I try to get because yeah, if I were to come home and just like kind of fall on the couch and be like,
oh man, that scene
God,
I had with Steve,
that was so hard. I'm exhausted.
We did two takes.
Can
usually
I, honey,
we do
can
one.
You what's for dinner? Can you give me a glass of wine? Yeah, that's
you'd
that's
be dead.
Dead.
You'd be like Lorena Bobbitt.
Dead.
You'd be dead.
Dead.
You'd be Wayne Bobbitt.
Dead.
What's
and
his name?
Yeah, John Wayne Bobbitt.
I don't know.
What's his name? John Wayne Bobbitt.
I don't know, dude. That's weird.
Okay. All right. How about you? my wife asks about my time. It's not that she's but I can't. Go ahead.
Well, first of all, as communicators, we don't really talk. I don't talk a lot. I don't like to talk.
Strong silent type.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
So I think my wife would actually like for me to
talk more.
Talk more about
Brent.
Stuff.
Bring me in, Steve. Let
you know
me in.
Talk.
Let me in.
We've been married
don't
20
years.
Don't
hold this all
talk.
In.
And then, sometimes you just want to have relations with your, with your wife. And you don't want to talk. But sometimes
well, you can talk dirty. That's
no, Bradford.
Well, I mean, saying if you're having a relationship, okay,
leave your weekends out of this, please. Yeah, I mean, she wants to hear about my day, but again, my wife's doing everything.
Right,
like
correct.
They do everything.
Right.
It's a. I don't want their job.
Their job is.
I don't
a
want
lot.
It.
Yeah.
I don't. You get it when you get home. You like jump in. I really don't that much.
Well,
I do, but I don't.
Sure.
I become the chauffeur. Like,
right.
Go here, go there, go shopping,
right.
Go do this, go do that. And that's fine.
You're an excellent driver.
I'm an excellent driver. I don't text and drive, so I focus.
That's right.
And my son wears this little football helmet in the
back
seat.
It's awesome.
And
it's
great.
Great.
But,
Yeah.
It's we don't get to talk too much about that stuff.
Well, so basically, the answer is our wives are superheroes. And
100% superhero.
Yeah. All right. So, and our second question comes from Barb Laparo. I hope I say that right. Yeah, and this is for both of you. How did it affect your friendship when neither one of you was on GH? Did you guys keep in touch as much as we could?
As much, you know, life gets in the way, right?
Well,
you
sure.
Know, and you're in two different places. And
luckily, the times that I was peering around the corner in Franklin, Tennessee, kind of just keeping tabs on you, you never saw me.
Yeah, yeah, right.
So that was convenient.
You were like a stalker.
Stalker.
But we did support Chuck stuff, so yeah. We got to see each other there. And you know, it's tough. You're in different states and yeah. Not the same job, and we try to keep in touch. Yeah. And
I thought we did a pretty dang good
job. We did a pretty good job, buddy.
Yeah.
We did. I'm proud of you.
I'm proud of you, too.
I
love you, too, buddy.
I love you
so much.
Look
at this. Episode 2 ending with some freaking love.
That's right, because we need a little more love.
We need a little love.
Especially on Twitter.
On Twitter. Give us some love on Twitter.
Come on, man.
Thank you. Hey. Make sure to go to our website for all tour dates. We're coming up on another tour in May.
In May, yeah. We got a lot of great dates coming up in May. We got a lot of great... merchandise.
We do. We're going to add some.
They can't see that I'm wearing my beautiful Stone Cold Majestic shirt.
Oh, guys, I'm going to put this up for you.
Yeah.
Steve's favorite shirt. You should see how this fits him, how this hugs him.
It's
so good. It's so good. It's like a black t-shirt, as you might imagine. Because
no, black?
Who'd have thunk? Who'd have thunk? So we're going to put that up. We're going to put some fun stuff up for summer. Thanks again to my college roommate Avi and his band David Kirby for the use of their song You Broke It, You Bought It.
And thanks for BurtNutrition.com for making me look so good.
Look at you go.
See that? If you're going to plug Kirby.
Well, they gave us their song.
David Kirby? Kirby.
It's our opening.
Okay, cool. Yeah. So, yeah, man. I'm looking forward to the next episode.
The next episode. Yeah. Thanks, Dr. Dre.
For collaborate and listen.
Stop.
To the Stone Cold Jackal Project.
Invention.
All right, guys.
Thanks
so much. Have a great day.